Good morning. Good morning, 11 o'clock. How you doing? You guys got a little rest? I like it. I like it. I like it. Hey, turn to your neighbor and say, today's going to be a good day. Today's going to be a good day. Turn to your second option and say, it's still going to be a good day for you. That happens. Hey, guys, I am Sammy Rodriguez. I'm a friend of the house. I'm your crazy kind of Latino cousin, you know? And so if you don't like today, that's totally fine. You're going to like next week. But if you do like today, please come back. Hey, I am really excited to share with you this message. We've had two services already, but we all know 11 o'clock is the most anointed service. Can I get an amen? Because we already had our breakfast. We're going to have the glory, and then we're going to go to lunch after. Maybe take a nap. We'll see. But I'm excited, and we're going to jump right in because, you know, this last Sunday, we got to celebrate Easter Sunday. He is risen. Great work. Great work. Okay, we got the cross here. We got the crown of thorns over here. And I love this because, you know, we're about to jump into a portion of Scripture. I'm going to open it up. We're going to talk through it really simple. But I love it because it's a story that happened a few days, maybe a few weeks after the resurrection of Jesus. Now, we're talking about John chapter 21, which we're going to talk through in a little bit. My title, if you're taking notes, that's amazing. It's called Breakfast on the Beach. Who doesn't love that? We all do. We're close by the beach. We love a good acai bowl or something delicious that we could have for breakfast. But we're about to enter into a story where this is, like I said, a few days later, and we enter into not a mountaintop moment, but probably more likely a valley moment where the disciples decide to go back to their old life of what they were doing, and Jesus ends up meeting them on the shore. Can we jump in? If we could jump in, say, let's jump in. We're going to talk about, I think it's up there, we're going to talk about love and lordship. Everyone say love? Love. Say lordship. Lordship. Amen. Let me take a little sip of water, dramatic effect, amen. Everyone say love? Love. Lordship. All right, here we go. We're going to have some fun. John chapter 21, it says this. After this, verse 1, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. Everyone say Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way: Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Sad they weren't mentioned, but it's okay. Two more. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. And they said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Everyone say nothing. Now again, let me set up the moment, right? So Peter, right? And James and John and other disciples, they were fishermen. Not every one of the disciples were. But when Jesus first met them, he says, you guys are fishermen, but I'm calling you to be a fisher of men. And he said, follow me. And they followed him. 3 years later, Jesus dies and rises again. It doesn't exactly work out how they were expecting. So what Peter decides to do is go back to his old life. Everyone say old life. Now, in John 20, in the last few verses, it's not up there, but I'm going to read it for you. It says this: Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples that are not written in this book. Verse 31, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Everybody say life. Now again, you got to understand this about the book of John, one of my favorite books in the Bible. Seven different conversations, seven different I am, seven different miracles. So we enter in, the book is that verse is so iconic. We talk about the resurrection, and then you add in this chapter, John 21, and you're like, what does this mean? But obviously the Lord is highlighting something in this moment. The first thing I want you to realize, which I know you do, but that our decisions that we make affect us and those around us for the good and the bad. Peter decides to say, listen, I'm going to go fishing. Some people think it was just to do work. Most people believe that it was actually him going back to his old life. He didn't invite everyone else with him, but everyone else, when he decided to go fishing, said, we're going to go with you. Our decisions, what we decide to do, affect those around us. Now, what's even more hilarious is that Peter, he used to be one of the best fishermen, in my mind, but I believe he was good. He went out into the boat with his seven other homies, including himself, and they caught nothing. Everyone say nothing. And it's hilarious because I don't know if you've been in this moment where you've been walking with the Lord and maybe you have a setback, whether it be a brokenness, whether it be some kind of sin addiction, but you have this setback and you feel like, oh, maybe this lifestyle with God isn't for me. And you decide to go back to what you used to be good at. You used to be like a professional sinner. Like you went to the University of Sinning. You know what I mean? And you go back to it and you're back in your sin. You're like, this don't even feel good no more. I can't even sin good anymore. Why? Because you got the conviction, the Holy Spirit, but you're yet to be fully surrendered. Everyone say amen. Amen. Peter goes back. He's fishing with a net, not a pole, but maybe a pole. Who knows? And then this is my favorite part, because Jesus, talking with the Father, talking with the Holy Ghost, talking with some archangels. You know, this is Jesus' first post-resurrection prank. It's amazing, right? He's showing up on the shore. He's talking with the Father, Holy Ghost. They're talking triune, you know. God. They're like, hey, listen, we're going to talk to our disciples, and we're going to let them know. Now, you got to understand this. Again, bringing you into this moment. All his disciples were around Jesus, right? In his greatest time of need, when he's in the garden and being crucified, but let's just go back to the garden. Jesus goes, please pray with me. His three close homies, what do? They sleep. They're like sleeping. Jesus is like, hello, please, I'm sweating blood here. Can you pray with me? They go back to sleep. So when his greatest time of need, only his mom and one other guy is there and one other lady, and everyone else runs away. If I was Jesus, if you were Jesus, and your closest homies that you said, I need you to be with me, all left you, you're going to show up and say, hello, hey, where you guys been, huh? I've been watching. You guys got a lot of time to make up for because you rejected me. But that's not Jesus' posture. And we enter into Jesus' posture. Are you ready? If you're ready, say, I'm ready. Verse 4, let's put it on up there. So I take one more drink. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They said, no. And again, like I said in the last few services, that question Jesus was asking was not really phrased like that in the original text. It was more Jesus walking by with maybe some mustache, you know what I mean? Like faking, you know, ha ha, it's me, right? And he was like, you guys didn't catch anything last night, did you? That's really how he was asking it. And they all said no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. Somebody say right side. So cast it on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. Everyone say the quantity of fish. I wrote this down, if you're taking notes or just to hear me out, is that Jesus will always break into your life and turn your barrenness into a fruitful harvest. Jesus was recognized by his abundance when the disciples were obedient to cast the net. I mean, they could have been like, excuse me, sir. Random guy walking by. We've been fishing all night. We're pretty good at it. Okay, you just keep walking by. No, but they responded and they remembered in the way that they were called into the service with the Lord that same moment happened. Now we get into it, right? Because, again, Peter did not come from a very good moment. Peter at the, you know, we're about to take communion in a few minutes. And at the Last Supper when, you know, communion was given, Peter tells Jesus, hey, listen, all these other jokers, they're all going to leave you. Not me, Jesus. I'm your day one. I'm your ride or die. Come on, let's roll. And Jesus goes, no, you don't understand. Before the rooster crows, before the end of the day, before the end of the night, you're going to deny me three times. Peter's like, yeah, right. And what happened? He denies him three times. And so Peter's coming off one of his most broken moments. And so in verse 7, here we find out, here it goes, verse 7, it says, that disciple who Jesus loved, that's Peter talking about himself, said to Peter, it is the Lord. Everyone say, it's God. Okay, you could do a little bit better. Say, it's God. That's good. All right, good job. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garments, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, but about 100 yards away. Now, I want you to hear this again. Peter is going from, okay, I just kind of like, it's Jesus. We got to have a good moment. So Peter puts clothes on, stripped for work for fishing. Let's not even talk about it, but puts clothes on, jumps in the sea and swims a football field away to try and say to Jesus, hey, listen, I may have denied you three times. I may have ran away from you, but I am going to will myself and show you that I'm back in your good graces.
I don't know if you've ever felt this way, or a lot of times what happens is we serve Jesus and we serve him, you know, we feel like we have to work for his love rather than from his love. Let me say it again. We feel like we have to work for Jesus' love rather than from his love. And so we almost serve Jesus, we serve God as this distant father, this distant God, that if we don't obtain or we don't hold to this checklist, we have to work ourselves back into his good grace. That's not the gospel. That's not Jesus. Doesn't mean that there's not walking with and discipleship and fellowship, but Jesus is bringing Peter to the end of himself in a revelation of what true love and lordship mean. Amen? As we keep going, right, he swam to the shore, verse 9. It says, when they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus brought that heavenly fish and bread already down. That's fire. Everyone say, that's fire. Verse 10. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish. Someone say, large fish. 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. Verse 14, this was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Something I want you to think about as we're talking about this love, as we're talking about this lordship, is that lordship, right, complete surrender. We have this saying that says either Jesus is Lord of all or not Lord at all, right? A lot of times we want God to be Lord of this area of our life and not this area, but lordship includes fellowship. When Jesus was inviting the disciples back, when he was showing up on the shore, he was saying, hey, come have breakfast with me. All seven of them, which a majority of them except one of those disciples ran away from God, running away from Jesus in his greatest time of need. And what does Jesus do? He re-enlists them back into their calling through having breakfast with them. I think for me, I like to cook breakfast for people I love. Anybody else? You're like, man, I love you. Here's some breakfast, poached eggs. I'm bougie. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know if you ever want to cook breakfast. Anyone want to cook breakfast for, you know, the people that betrayed them? Anyone? Any hands? How about people that, you know, stabbed you in the back, hurt you the most? No, there's no way. There's no way we're cooking breakfast for people that hurt us, that deny us, that in our greatest time of need, they leave us. But Jesus is showing us how to truly walk out this love. Maybe for some of us, there's been someone who's created great pain in our life and something that you've been wrestling with the Lord, and the Lord's inviting you, hey, invite them over and make them breakfast. Now, it doesn't mean that we justify their actions. We just say, listen, I want to let you know, in the same way Jesus did it for his disciples, I want to do it for you as well. And here we get into the most important moment of this message. As the band gets ready to come up, as the keys start playing, we'll feel the Holy Ghost, the oil start to drip down. Here it comes. Joking. Moving on. Here we get into the moment where Jesus does address what Peter was doing. Because without this moment, we may never have Acts 2, where Peter stands up after the Holy Spirit falls and preaches the first apostolic message where 3,000 are saved. We may never have that moment. And so here we get into the moment, again, you got to remember, you're there, you're with me, we're at the Sea of Tiberias, like I said before, and I don't think I mentioned on this one, but that Tiberias word means navel, means your midsection. So it's funny because they could have used in three different names for the sea, but really, the disciples went back to focusing on themselves, and then they were just empty. And Jesus shows up and says, it's actually calling you to be outward focused, but how are you supposed to do that? Well, Jesus has this conversation with Peter when all other of the, you know, seven, eight, including Jesus, were around. Peter's sitting by the fire after eating his bread, eating his poke bowl, his fish, all that good stuff, you know what I'm saying? They're sitting there, and Peter's ready. Peter's ready for it. He's ready to be rebuked. He's ready to be. And Jesus has this conversation, and here's where we jump in. Verse 15. When they have finished breakfast, Jesus says to Simon Peter, and here's something I didn't say in the other services. I saved just for the 11 o'clock. Can I get an amen? Amen. People gotta sleep in, all right? Okay. Jesus renamed Simon to Peter. Cephas, you are Peter, upon this rock I'll be my church, right? He renamed him. when he's having this conversation, he calls him back by his old name. Why? Well, there's a lot of different reasons and beliefs by it, but he calls him back Simon, son of John. He calls him back from the name he got. Why? Because I believe Peter going back into his old life and going back to what he used to do. Simon, son of John, was a fisher. And Jesus was reminding him, hey, you were a fisherman, but you are going to be fishermen. You are going to be this rock that I built my church. You are going to be this apostle. And for some of us in this room, whether it be from this last Easter or a few months ago where you've been running and walking with God and maybe you've had this moment where you slipped or you've fallen or you've gone back to addiction or gone back to pain and you feel like, man, maybe this disqualifies me, and Jesus is showing up on the shore of your heart this morning and letting you know, I'm not finished with you yet. I'm not done with you yet. Can I get an amen? Come on, you could clap for that. I'm not finished with you yet. And in the same way Jesus has this conversation with Peter, he's having it with us, where he's talking to us and he's saying, listen, in my invitation for lordship and love, it's going to be started and the beginning is surrender. Here we jump in. He says, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, feed my lambs. Verse 16. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show him by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Somebody say, follow me. The same way that he called Peter first time when he said, follow me, he re-enlisted him into his calling. But as we get into it and as we get ready to receive communion and pray, you know, when Jesus was saying, hey, do you love me? Peter goes, I love you. You know, they were going back and forth three times. And a lot of times, you know, people will say, well, maybe he's asked that question three times because he denied Jesus three times. There's a lot of different ideas and philosophies behind that moment. But when you look into the language of what Jesus said and what Peter said, you get a little bit more context into what he's saying. You know, in the Greek, in the original context, there's four different words for love. We have one that encompasses all four. But when Jesus was saying, hey, Peter, hey, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He was using the word agape, which is the unconditional love. He was asking Peter, he was saying, Peter, do you unconditionally love me? Now, Peter, when he responds across from the fire, eating his fish and eating his bread, he responds back to Jesus and he says, hey, Jesus, you know that I love you, but he uses this word, this Greek word phileo, which means a conditional love, all right? So when Jesus asks Peter, do you unconditionally love me? Peter responds to Jesus and he says, hey, Jesus, I love you, but there are conditions on my love. Jesus asks Peter a second time, hey, Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And again, he uses the same word, agape, the unconditional love. So Jesus says back to Peter, do you unconditionally love me? Peter responds, everyone's eating their food, like, what is going on? Peter back responds and says, God, I love you, but there are conditions on my love. And the third time, Jesus changes it, and Jesus uses the same word Peter says, and he says, okay, Peter, I know you can't unconditionally love me, but do you conditionally love me? And Peter, it says he was grieved. And he says, God, you know all things. You know that I love you, but my love has condition. And he responds with that word. What was Jesus doing? I believe that Jesus was bringing Peter to the end of himself. And Jesus was saying to Peter, listen, Peter, listen, disciples. You guys are about to have this crazy life. Even at the end of it, it says that he's going to be carried and he's going to be killed. Peter didn't want to be considered on the same level of Jesus, that when he was older, he was actually crucified upside down. What changed from denying Jesus to a few people to being crucified upside down? I believe it was one of these moments where Jesus said, Peter, it takes me, Jesus, to love me. Jesus was telling Peter, you cannot do the walk with Jesus by yourself. You cannot walk with God according to your own strength. And how much of that is in the Western world where we feel like we got to be strong and we got to show this facade and this face where we're like, we got it all together. But truly, when we have it together is when we let everything go. We say, Jesus, I can't do it on my own. And like I said before, you might be in this moment with hidden sin and brokenness and pain, or maybe questions, and you have more questions than answers. And the truth about the gospel is the Lord never promised answers. He just promised he'll be with us. And to Jesus, what Jesus does in this moment is he re-enlists Peter back into his calling by saying, Peter, would you let go? Would you trust me? And would you surrender everything? We have this saying, I might have already said it, maybe not. We say that Jesus is Lord of all or not Lord at all. I feel like for us in this moment, growing up in church, I heard a pastor say this a few Sundays ago. He says, God does not have grandchildren. He has sons and daughters. Meaning, we can't be saved through our own family. We can't be walking with Jesus in a relationship through our parents or grandparents. We make that decision ourselves. And in the same way with Peter, when he had surrendered, he had gone back to his old life, Jesus was saying, hey, it's time to come back home. And when Peter said that yes, and he said yes upon him, everything changed. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to partake in some communion in a second. But before we do, I want to pray with you about a few things. The first one, we could just have everyone's head bowed and eyes closed. We're doing this as because I want you to focus on the Lord. Focus on Jesus. Just no distractions, no looking around. And you might be in this place where you feel like, you know, maybe you've walked with God before, but you've been away in a prodigal season. You've been in pain and brokenness. Your own sin has led you astray. Or maybe you're in this place and you've never given your life to Jesus. You've never surrendered your life to Jesus. I was just talking with a friend that works here for the church, and he said that 30 years ago or so, it was someone who gave an opportunity. He went to a wrong church, and someone gave an opportunity to come home, and addiction broke. In a moment, addiction broke, gave his life to Jesus, and everything changed. I just believe that some of us in this room, your cycles of pain and brokenness and those chains, you don't need to carry those out what you walked in with. And so with all head bowed and all eyes closed, whether for the first time or for the last time, and if we could get the band to join me up here, all heads bowed, all eyes closed, first time or last time, I count to three. And if you are ready to get right with Jesus, if you are ready to surrender all, not just as your Savior, but as your Lord, on the count of three, I just want you to shoot your hand up. One, Jesus loves you so much. Two, this is the best decision you can make in your life. Three, if that's you, can you just lift a hand so I can see it? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Amen. 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 Here's what I want to do. You can put your hands down. If we could all stand, and as we stand, can we just celebrate every single person that just responded? Well, I think we could get a little bit louder. Come on. Can we just thank Jesus? Come on, all together. Can we say thank you, Jesus? Say it like you mean it. Say thank you, Jesus. We're going to pray together, all right? We're going to pray together. We're going to pray this all out together. Whether you raise your hand first time or last time as one family. Everyone say one family. We're going to pray this together. Say this with me. Say, Jesus, thank you so much for coming to the earth, dying on a cross, rising from the grave. Say this with me. Say, I confess that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Say, forgive me of my sins. Wipe my slate clean. Today, I accept you, Jesus, as my Savior and as my Lord. And do this with me. All hands open like this. All hands open. Say, Holy Spirit, come and fill me up. Let me pray for you, and then we're going to do one more thing, and then we're going to worship. Lord, I thank you for every person that responded, whether for the first time or last time, and we just solidify that, this moment, solidify that this will be a moment where there's no going back, a stake in the ground moment forever, in Jesus' name.
Pastor Craig's going to share this with you, but at the end I'll say it. If you made that decision, we want to celebrate with you. There's a connection kind of location in the back. He'll share more about it, about getting a Bible, but you just made the greatest decision of your life to, whether for the first time or last time, come back home. So can we just put our hands together and applaud? Okay, last one, and then we're going to worship, and then we're going to be passing out communion. So don't leave to get an early jump on lunch. Lunch will still be there, okay? Just stay here. We're going to do some communion. It's going to be amazing. But the invitation I want you to, everyone in this room, I like to call these mandatory altar calls, meaning just ask the Lord this question. What's an area of surrender that I could grow in or walk in a greater way today? Will you do that for me? If you'll do that for me, give me a little Holy Ghost wave. Yeah, okay, amen. Now, here's the last thing I want to pray for. I feel like there are moments when the Lord speaks to us. He speaks all the time, but where you're like, man, that's for me. And if you feel like God is inviting you into a level of greater surrender, of greater trust, greater abandonment, and you're saying, God, I just need a fresh grace for that, whether it be through family or pain or misunderstanding, but you're saying, God, I want to give it to you. I want to trust you. If that's you, can you lift both hands? You're just saying, Lord, I'm ready for just another level of surrender in a greater way. Let me pray for you and pray for us, and then we'll worship. Lord, we just, all together, you see every hand. And now again, keep your hands up. Let me keep talking. Don't raise your hand if you don't mean it, because God will get you. You know what I mean? But you see these hands, Lord, and we just say yes to greater surrender. We say yes to greater trust. We thank you that you showed up on the shore of the disciples and you invited them back in their calling. And we thank you that you're doing that for us as well. And so we surrender to you. We say we love you, Jesus. We say have your way in our life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Here's what I'm asking you to do. Let's worship. Let's stay standing. Let's worship.